Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tuesday morning, live on the air, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Royals are in action tonight. Why do I get the feeling that so many people that tell me they're not going to watch are definitely going to watch?
Well, because they're going to be dialed in. It's the baseball team. We got game one of a series with Texas. It's time to get back on the winning side of things and make people excited again about this ball club, because there's a lot to be excited about still. But you know what? You got to go out there and start winning games. Otherwise, people aren't going to be excited. And it really starts with Bobby Witt. You and I were talking yesterday. Nobody's mentioning Aaron Judge had 9 strikeouts over the weekend.
One for 10,
9 strikeouts.
Is that a playoff series?
Yes, kind of a playoff series. I mean, you're playing against the Boston Red Sox, right? That's a big time. Well, I don't know what the Boston Red Sox, quite frankly, Dusty, are doing at this point in time, if they're challenging for a playoff spot or whatnot. But it's against your biggest rival. It's a big situation. And Aaron Judge didn't step up. Bobby Witt didn't step up over the weekend or whatever it's been, right? You're not going to win without your stars stepping up. Aaron Judge struck out 9 times. The Yankees got swept by the Boston Red Sox. It's pretty evident what you have to do in baseball. Your stars need to perform. Your stars need to be big. And if your stars aren't big and your stars don't perform, your team really doesn't stand a chance. Ask any sport that question. You
Boston.
Know, Tyrese Halliburton last night. How was he?
Well, he got hurt.
Yeah.
And hurt my parlay a lot. Boston is a playoff team. Boston is the third and final team in the wild card.
Really?
They have a half game lead over the Twins and the Mariners and a 3-game lead over the Royals.
Okay, so they're a playoff team, but I mean, I don't know what they're doing as a playoff team. You trade Devers like that and you know, you're not getting better. I mean, so
they were throwing, like, I don't know if it was ESPN last night. Well, MLB Network last night, because I was locked in for the Shohei Ohtani start.
Yeah.
Love the way it happened.
Hit,
it was
hit
done.
100.
Done.
Yeah.
One inning, done.
Yeah.
ERA 9. But he's one of the best pitchers in the game.
Uh-huh. Get him back in there, you know. Get him back in there, see what he can do.
So he went 1-8 underneath. They were like, Rafael Devers was traded to the San Francisco Giants on Saturday or Sunday, whatever it was, Monday, and it was just putting up all his all-time ranks for Boston. It's like all these home runs, this high average, these RBI. And I was like, I don't know if like Boston got arrogant and just thought they could trade all these players and just go get a bunch. But they have now traded Mookie Betts, Rafael Devers, and Chris Sale.
Yeah, and
got nothing in return.
Nothing in return. And they've been, since they traded Mookie Betts after they won that world championship in 2018, they've legitimately been a 500 team. I think I saw the number, they're like 439 and 439 or something like that. So they've been legitimately a 500 team since they traded, you know, Mookie Betts and won that world championship. And ever since then, it hasn't been that good. And then you go out and you trade Rafael Devers and you get four players back in return. Great. Maybe we'll know.
You got a bag of balls.
Yeah, exactly. You got nothing in return, right? Maybe we'll know. Maybe we won't. But yeah. The interesting thing, I heard somebody talking about this yesterday, and they're like, why would you trade Rafael Devers? And somebody made the suggestion of they've called up a couple of big-time prospects, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, they probably just didn't want those guys up here with a negative attitude guy in the clubhouse. And I'm like, I can see that. I mean, the last thing you want to do is bring up young guys and have them exposed to guys who go, this stinks, you can't work, we're never going to win, blah, blah, I hate this team, I hate this organization, they suck. You don't want your young players exposed to that. And I don't know if Rafael Devers was doing that. I mean, sure sounds like he was.
From what I read early in the season when they went, and this is on Boston too, because they went and got Alex Bregman, which was a need they didn't need.
They didn't need, right.
Like, a lot of people thought Detroit was going to get Alex Bregman. Could you imagine?
Oh, my God. That's right. That was their
number one guy. Right. And Detroit caught a lot of heat because they lost the bidding war to Boston.
Right.
And everyone's like, why is Boston getting Alex Bregman? They have Rafael Devers.
Right.
And Rafael Devers said to himself, I don't know why they're getting Alex Bregman either, because honestly, he's a better third baseman than I am defensively, mm-hmm. but I'm not a slouch.
Right.
You know, I'm not this whatever. And then they basically, Boston's like, hey, we appreciate your time here, but you're going to be in the back seat. He's going to be in the front seat, but you're still going to be in the car.
Right.
And he's like, the hell I am.
Right.
And we had the start that was terrible where he just didn't care. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, flaring the bat or whatever.
He struck out like 12 strike times or something like that.
And his general manager flew into Kansas City. Flew in for a 101 visit. And then Devers hit the ground running. And then they had another conversation from what I've read inside of whoever knows the truth. But from what I was reading, they basically got together and they were telling each other, like, hey, you're not happy here. It's obvious. We're going to move you if you're okay with that. And he said, yeah, I want to play this position. I want to be this person. I've done that. If that's not what's going to be here, let's part ways. I'm sure the verbiage was a little bit different.
Yeah.
But that's essentially from what I've seen from multiple articles and multiple sources. That's how the conversation went. They traded to San Francisco. They got back what they got because, quite frankly, their minor league system is already massive. Mm-hmm. We know of two of the guys that one of already has been called up. The other one's on his way.
And they called up a pitcher or somebody earlier in the spring.
And then they got Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's time. It was time to move on from Rafael Devers. And they did just that. And I hate to say this, man, but like that would have been a great fit here in Kansas City, obviously. He could have been your everyday third baseman, would have been a great bat in your lineup. You didn't have to give up much. Clearly, the San Francisco Giants didn't give up much. But I don't think they wanted to trade Rafael Devers, A, to an American League team, and B, to a team that could potentially use him at third base, too. So they traded him to San Francisco, where they don't really have an opening at third base right now. And they're going to play him at first base. And he's more than happy, he said, to play first base. So that was one of those deals where he was just looking to get out and looking to move on. And sometimes things like that happen. But, you know, the Red Sox, good for them. Hopefully they have a minor league system. But there was an article on Yahoo that I thought was very interesting that I was reading last night about the Red Sox and how that organization is divided between the manager and the general manager. The front office is trying to build for the future. A lot of these front offices try to build for the future to justify their jobs. They can always tell their bosses, we got these young guys coming. And then you've got these managers are out here who are trying to manage for today because they need to win today or they're going to get fired and they're not getting the players that they need from the front office. So there's a big divide in Boston, and that'll be an interesting one to kind of watch as the season goes along to see who ultimately wins. Does the front office win or does the manager win? Because the manager's like, I got to win games. You're paying me to win games. And if I don't win games, you're going to fire me. But now you're trading all my players away and I've got no real major league players on this team right now to go out there and try to win games with. So it's a very interesting dynamic that's taking place in Boston. You know, hopefully we never have that here in KC.
The other interesting dynamic that's happening is the entire AL Central minus the White Sox were playoff teams. Now the entire AL East is playoff teams minus Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yankees are leading the division, and then your top three wild cards are the Rays, the Jays, and the Sox.
It's crazy how quickly that has changed, yeah, right? Wow. Like bad well, 10 days. Oh, down, the Central has dissipated in a big way. Mm-hmm. Everybody other than Detroit is kind of playing some bad baseball right now. So
Central the best division in baseball? AL East is like, no, we hold have been for the last like 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you didn't take advantage of this opportunity with everybody losing around you. These are the opportunities that are missed. And, you know, Detroit's going to get hot again. They're a good team. Cleveland's going to get hot again. It goes like in waves. You got to be hot whenever everybody else is cold, man. You can't be cold when everybody else is cold because you're not making up that ground. Just think if the Royals had split these series with the Yankees and Sacramento, right? If they had split with the Yankees and Sacramento being a 3-3, how much better would they look in the standings at this point in time with the way that everybody else has played in this division and really in the American League? They would have had an opportunity to still be, you know, sitting there with a playoff spot, but they didn't take advantage of that opportunity. But now you go into Texas, you got to take advantage, and that sometimes is a house of horrors for whatever reason for the Royals.
Except for Bobby.
Except for Bobby, yeah.
You can still paint it positively, though, because it could have been worse.
Could have been worse, sure.
The AL Central could have been, you know, rocketing, but now it's going down, and the Royals are too, but at least...
But what sucks is the Central's over.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, the division's over.
Yeah, the wild card teams that were in there, yeah.
Yeah, the wild card teams, exactly. No, division's done.
The division's cooked. I mean, you're 11.5 back, right?
Washed.
I mean, that's I mean, 11.5 back at this time of the year, it'll be one of the great comebacks that we ever did see, you know?
Nobody has a chance outside of Detroit. Tigers are going to eat Royals, they're going to eat Twins, and they're also going to eat Sox.
Watch how this playoff thing plays out, because we were talking at the beginning of the year. I mean, maybe get three teams from the Central and watch Detroit be the only team from the American League Central that gets into the postseason. Season this year, we're like, oh man, where did it all go?
From four to one.
But I mean that's
a month.
Yeah, but that's the problem though with the wild card. It's great that we have the extra wild card team in, but it's also very detrimental because you still have teams that believe that they are alive that aren't willing to make these trades. Like the Angels and Royals are pretty much the same baseball team, and everybody's telling the Angels they should be selling. And why should the Angels be selling if the Royals shouldn't be selling? You know, at this point in time, right? They're essentially the same record, the same position in the wild card standings. Everybody's like, Taylor Ward needs to go to the Royals. Taylor Ward needs to go to the Royals. Trade him to the Royals. The Angels are like, we have the same record basically as the Royals. Why are we willing to wave the white flag right now? If the Angels are willing to wave the white flag, then everybody else with the same record and below them should be willing to wave the white flag right now. And so therein lies the problem, because if you're the Angels, like, we're not selling yet. We're still kind of in this thing. We're not telling people the season's over at this point in time. So therein lies the problem of having that extra wild card, is that everything keeps pushing back, and the later it goes and the later it goes and the later it goes, before you get that bat, it's more opportunity to lose games, you know?
So you got an email from Roy Mahoney?
I got an email from Roy Mahoney, a friend of ours, that he got a text message from his neighbor. And I want to read this text message on the air, because I want to know actually who's the wrong one in here. Is it Roy Mahoney or is it the neighbor to send this text message? He says, Roy, I'm not sure you have looked at the rules of our neighborhood. So there we start, right? Not trying to be a Karen, but we have tried to abide by the rules for the sake of our values and sense of a higher class neighborhood. Your garage doors should not be open except for egress and ingress. Looking at your garage every day is depressing, given the promise to move the trailer off time the driveway out. That has not occurred.
Looking at your driveway every or your garage every day is depressing?
That's right.
Then why are you looking at it?
Don't look at my driveway every day. I mean, don't look at my driveway every day.
Deep thoughts. Okay.
Yes. Let's see. Depressing not occurred. We are tired, Roy, and I won't stand for it much longer. Your son has decided to party in the pool, and I can hear it in my backyard. Given the other offenses, the degradation of the neighborhood with your lack of consideration for your neighbors, I'm fed up. My patience is over. I'm done. The constant construction and abuse of the rules needs to stop. This isn't Raymore.
Oh,
okay.
Shots fired.
What's wrong with it? Who pissed in this guy's Cheerios?
So this is what goes on, man. God. This is what goes on.
Is that HOA neighborhood?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. HOA neighborhood.
Not a chance,
they're
dude.
Redoing their basement. They're redoing a deck, and so they have some wood stacked up outside.
Jeez.
And so our friend
816 Roy. Neighbor is wrong. Anyone who cares about that is crazy.
But who's in the wrong? Is it Roy for stacking all this crap outside his driveway as they're building up the it's Roy as they build up the basement, the deck, and all of that kind of stuff? Or are the neighbors wrong for sending that text message?
If I'm Roy, I'm walking over to that man's house, knocking on the door, and having a conversation.
Well, I think there really could have been something like that maybe potentially happening, and I kind of said, hey, is it really worth it to go over there and talk to that person about
it
that
is,
kind of stuff?
Because not everything has to be about violence. Like, you can just go over there and be like, hey, man, like, first off, stop looking at my garage. Second off, if you have a problem with my child in the backyard, maybe go in, like, I'm not saying to go inside, but, like, be a man about it and go say something. Like, hey, would you mind maybe, like, quieting the music a little bit?
Right.
Yeah, you're going to look like a Richard, but it's like, at least you're being professional. You're being a man about it. You're being a leader about it. You're not just firing off it's just keyboard warrior.
Keyboard
right
warrior,
there.
Yeah. Like, and go over and have a conversation and say, hey.
Or be like, hey, man, I've noticed the last couple of days there's a lot of stuff outside your are you doing like some construction in your house? Yeah, man, we're putting this new deck together. We're trying to figure some stuff out.
Right.
Shouldn't be here more than a week. Awesome. If it's after a week, then you send the text message. Or you're a man, you go face another man and you say, hey, by the way, your son, a lot of loud music that's got the F word in it. Try to sit out here and enjoy the music. And if I'm that kid's dad, I'm going to say, hey, buddy, can you
just turn
music
the music down?
Loud.
Yeah.
I understand you want to have fun. And also, the hell's wrong with Raymore?
Yeah, Raymore's very nice. It's very nice.
Great
I know some
school?
People that live in Raymore that have one of the biggest houses I've ever been to with a helicopter pad where they land their helicopter. That ain't happening in Overland Park.
One of the nicest Johnny's Taverns I've ever been to.
Like, Raymore really is nice.
Really,
yeah.
Really nice place. Yeah. It's just kind of out there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like...
Now, why take a shot at Raymore?
Yeah, you're better than Raymore?
Yeah, that's exactly
That's
exactly what this person is saying. Yeah,
better than you.
And so if I got that message, I'd look at it and go, okay, back to my whatever I'm doing. I'm not paying attention. Like, that's just a douchey neighbor
from the 417. Who's this MF-er's name? I'm from Raymore.
We can give it to you. I'm sure Roy would let us know.
From the 816, so this Karen is mad that kids are having fun in a pool and he's investing in his property?
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's what he's doing. He's investing in his property to make everybody's house worth more. He's putting in a new deck. He's gutting the basement, putting in a new basement, doing all this kind of stuff.
This guy says, 816, I would politely tell him to suck. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, that's great. Well, I don't think there's anybody on that guy's side in Texas.
I don't think, nobody's on that guy's side. Like, there's nothing worse than the over-officious HOA neighbor guy.
Isn't
like, seriously, suck
Creek,
it, man.
Isn't Creekmore and Raymore? Help me out, text line. Let me look.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, it says it right here. Dude, seriously, how big? Oh, never mind, that's Max. Oh. This one says... Yeah, it says, has this guy ever been to Creekmore? Those houses are huge. Creekmore is one of the most beautiful golf courses I've ever played.
Yeah.
And I played a lot of golf in the metro. Creekmore is insanely
gorgeous. Raymore, seriously, and I'm not kidding about this.
Awesome.
It's awesome. There's land. There's houses out there that are huge. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I've been to Raymore, and I'm not going to try to... Warren Moon stays with friends of ours that live in Raymore and has us out to where they stay. Warren Moon ain't staying in a dump, okay? I'll tell you that right now, right? It is a beautiful place out there. So don't take shots at Raymore. That guy who sent that note to Roy probably has no idea where Raymore is and has never been to Raymore in his life and probably hasn't been east of state line in a very long time.
Can we prank call this guy in the air? And say that we're from like the housing division and heard that he had a problem with this guy's house.
That'd
and then after he's like, yeah, guy's house sucks. I'm tired of looking at him. Like, move along, asshat. Hey, what the fuck? Got him. Or kill him with kindness.
Or find something else to do with your life. Like these people who have time to look at everybody else's yard and worry and your garage door is open. I'm tired of looking at it. Do you know what happens on the weekend in my neighborhood? Everybody's garage door is open all day and everybody's just out doing things, looking at everybody because everybody's busy doing stuff. This guy's tired of his garage door being open. Good Lord. Pour a freaking bottle of Kim Crawford in your Stanley and kiss my ass.
I'd love that. Somebody says, I live in Winnebago, and that's part of Raymore.
Yeah,
yeah, dude. There's only like optometrists that live in Winnebago that have a huge eyeball as like the wall.
Been there.
Yeah.
Been there.
Literally, like they have a place called Million Dollar Cove.
Million Dollar Cove in Winnebago, yeah.
You have to go 20 miles an hour through there because you will get pulled over if you go any faster than 30. We are super late to a break. Coming back, how long do you give it until the team
more
meeting
texts
shows
on that
in
person.
Effect? No doubt about it. 96.5 The Fan, you're on for Kansas City Sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
UMFers, I live on Independence Avenue. Must be nice to leave your garage door open.
Great text. You get the rest of the week
Sounds
off.
Sounds like
man.
Everybody's in agreement on the neighborhood watch committee and whatever.
Nobody likes the HOA guy. Nobody likes the neighborhood cop. Like, mind your own business, pal. Get your carcass back in your abode and make sure everything else is going right in your house before you worry about somebody's garage door being open.
Or maybe say something to the guy's face.
Yeah, or just have a conversation.
You have to go over there and Hank Hill it. I'm going to go kick this guy's ass. You just have to go over there and be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go, you know, chat with this guy. We're neighbors. We should be able to talk to each other. You should.
Or you go up and you go like, hey, man, how's the construction going? Is it going good? Yeah, it's going good. We're getting there. It's, you know, and he probably says, probably taking a little bit longer because everything does, right? Have you ever had somebody come over to your house, build something that goes, right? So everything takes forever. It's taking a little longer, man. It's, you know, things are going a little bit slower than we anticipated, but we hope to be done by the end of summer. Okay, cool. Hey, by the way, you know, last night, you know, your son was blaring the music. Would you miss mine, like, just have them keep it to a normal level because we were trying to entertain some guests or whatever you want to say. And you can handle that very easily, very nicely, as opposed to being a douche and set firing off. And see, that's the other thing, too. That person who said they didn't want to be a Karen, it was from a man. So you cannot be that kind of person. If you got an issue with somebody, don't be a keyboard warrior. Go have a conversation face to face, and 99% of the times it'll get resolved, and everybody will walk away feeling just fine about it. You got your message across. He had an opportunity to tell you what was going on. You get on common ground. You see eye to eye. That's the biggest problem that we do face. I do believe one of the biggest problems, I should say, we face in this world. We don't communicate anymore. People don't communicate and talk. They just want to fire text messages off. And you can't understand tone and all that kind of stuff. You got a problem with your neighbor? Go, hey, dude, stop blowing the leaves into my yard, or whatever the case may be. Well, have that conversation.
That's definitely happened in my neighborhood.
Oh, your neighbor's blowing the leaves in your yard?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I kind of said something.
Did you say something to him?
Of course.
Well, you should. Yeah.
I just mulched my whole yard last year, got it all cleaned up, bagged it, disposed of it. And then all of a sudden, they did theirs and they shot over. I was like, hey, would you mind? And maybe the guy was like, oh yeah, no problem. And it was that easy.
It was that easy, man. Yeah. Hey, man, you might not blow. Oh yeah, cool, done.
So we played the audio yesterday. Don't need to play it again, but you've heard it many times. Bobby Witt Jr. talking about the players only meeting. Mark Canha said something as well. And the question that you had asked is, how long do we know until the players meeting was a successful or a fail?
Yeah.
Nobody lost their job yesterday.
Nope.
Again, I didn't think that we were advocating for someone to lose their job. I just thought there might be a change of voice needed. Maybe you bring somebody else with the hitting coach as well. And you kind of brainstorm and whatnot. Now, I still think changes need to be made in the delivery of what their approach is because it's not working,
right?
Clearly. But I think, and this is a very tough test for me to say this, but I think after this weekend, you will know if the meeting was a success or a fail. And I will tell you why. One, why it's tough. You play Texas on the road where you're never successful, and you play in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego's a damn good team.
Damn good team.
I mean, they spit on Otani's start last night in the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
24 pitches, one strikeout, ERA. Now, again, one start. Otani will get back into the groove of things.
Right, and that was all planned last night. He was only going to go one or two innings max, and you know, you got to get him back into the groove of things.
And
right?
Otani's still cool to see him.
And Otani's nice. It was still insane to me to this moment. I'm eating a burrito at 8:30 after golf. And
it's a little late to be having a burrito, I'll be honest with you.
All I had was a protein shake, though.
All right.
I know, not the best. But the thing is that it was amazing to me to see him pitch the top of the first and then lead off the bottom of the second.
That's
cool. It still blows my mind to this day to see that.
Yeah.
But it's a tough test for those two teams. But we're done with the tests. Like, we're done with the excuses.
Yeah.
You're in full baseball mode. This is where everybody either is with it or they're against it, and you find out by July 15th or whenever that All-Star break is, which I think that's when it is.
Right about there, yeah.
What is it? S or get out the pot.
Yeah.
It's basically the same that happens there. And we heard Vern yesterday tell us on the show that this team goes where Bobby goes. And we talked about it earlier today. We said the Yankees got swept by Boston. Aaron Judge is 1-for-10 with 9 strikeouts.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No.
The Yankees go when Judge goes. It happens with every team that has that superstar. Fortunately, the Dodgers, they have Otani, Betts, and Freeman. Yeah. They're an outlier of a situation.
Right.
But you will know you've had two significant things happen. You had a players-only meeting, three. You had a players-only meeting, you got swept at home, and you had an off day.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a day yesterday where you went to Texas, you just, who knows what they did, clear their mind, out of sight, get out of your own city, get away from all the bad stuff, and clear it out. Take what you have at your players' meeting and get with it, because three at Texas, three at San Diego, hate to tell you, off Monday, and then that Otani Dodgers team comes right here
right
to
back.
Kansas City.
So, right back.
Very tough 9 games. I don't know what you need for a success, but at this point in your season where you've been, where you put yourself in, out of your next 9, I think you need to win 6.
Yeah,
I think you need to go 6-3, and that's tough. That means you're losing. That means you're essentially winning 3 straight series against Texas on the road, Padres on the road, and the Dodgers at home. That might be a tough task to ask. But out of those 9 games, you can't lose more than, I don't know, 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's now getting to that point of the season where we're under 100 games, obviously, to go. We're getting close to the halfway point in the season. I think next week marks roughly the halfway point of the season where we'll have 82 games roughly in the books. And so you're getting to that point now where games are starting to matter more. And each one that you lose means, and I know this sounds stupid, but it's one less opportunity that you have moving forward. And so you can't waste these opportunities. You can't blow leads in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. You can't you can't just score 1 or 2 runs per ball game. You have to find a way to get this thing moving in the right direction. And will they do it? I don't know. Only time will tell, as they like to say. But it's going to have to matter real quick, because the last thing you want to do is be one of those teams that's kind of hanging around and have that impact what you do at the trade deadline. The Royals need to do one of two things for me. They either need to take off and start winning, or they need to dissipate and fall back to the bottom of the pack, so you know that you can make some moves. Because I think Lugo could be a nice trade chip for you. Some team would want him. You know, some team maybe would want Michael Lorenzen. Maybe somebody wants an Urseg. Maybe somebody wants, you know, a Bubich. And I'm just throwing all these names out here. Or Stevez. Right. Like,
that's where your value is, in my opinion.
I think so. I think there's a lot of value there in the bullpen, especially with a Stevez. And that was a guy that the Royals really coveted. This, we talked about it. Once they didn't get, you know, Santander, they went after a Stevez and got him and brought him in. And he was a big component. And he's been really good. I know he struggled a little bit the other day, but I mean, 18 saves or whatever it is already this season. Mm-hmm. That's a nice arm to have in the back of the bullpen for a playoff team. So I'm asking the Royals to do one of two things. Whichever door you pick, door A, take off and win games, which is what I prefer, or door B, lose a bunch of games so that we can know where we are. You don't want to hover around 500 at the trade deadline and then not make a move because you falsely believe that you're in it, and it could cost you the opportunity to continue to build for the future by pairing off somebody that may be a free agent at the end of the year. And so that's what you need to do. That's why the extra wild card thing kind of is a source of hope, because a lot of teams believe that they're still in it. It's either win and do really good and know you're in it, or lose and fall out of the race so you can start peeling off teams. Being a 500 team really doesn't accomplish all. It's being 500 in the NFL. What does that get you? The 16th pick and we're still a 500 team.
You're the Bengals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, you know, it is a big week. I think you're absolutely right about that. And hopefully Bobby gets hot in Texas, man. Like, put on those cowboy boots, put on that hat, pretend you're a kid again, and go out there and swing the bat like you've done for your entire career in the state of Texas, and let's carry this team. But all teams, and I've said this for the last couple of weeks, and nobody wants to hear because we like Bobby, but you're only as good as your stars. If Patrick Mahomes is throwing in at the team's not winning games.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. You had brought up a question about Cags' ceiling.
Yeah.
And you have the question that is?
Like, I was watching him on Sunday, right? And you know, they moved him down in the order on Sunday to 7th, which is fine. I have no problem
He's
with that.
He's hit there multiple times.
Yeah, but that's like he went from, like, 5th to 6th. You know, it's kind of gone a little bit down. But that's okay. He can hit wherever he wants to hit. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not sending him down. But if I can guarantee you he's Mike Sweeney, will you take that right now? Or will you let the career play out? Because I think people sometimes forget how good Mike Sweeney really was as a player for this organization. He had some great years when he was the only bat in the lineup. I mean, he really was, for the most part, the only bat in that lineup. So if I said to you right now, I guarantee you his production of Mike Sweeney, or you can play it out, which one would you take? And I'm not going to ask that parlay guy who's effed.
Oh, 39,000.
Like, cash out now, pal. Sorry.
So I will say I will pass. Mike Sweeney only played 150 games twice in his career.
Injuries, yeah.
Right. Yep. Now, when he played in those games, he had his two best seasons, I think. He had, in his 150 games he played, he hit a 332 average, or 322 average, hit 22 home runs and 102 RBIs. The next year, he would play 159 games, and he would have a 333 average, hit for 29 home runs and 144 RBIs.
What year was that?
That was 2000.
2000.
That was the year that him and Manny Ramirez were like neck and neck for MVP.
And that's also when he had Dye and Damon in the lineup, and they could hit a ton and score a bunch of runs, but couldn't pitch.
And then we never saw it again. 147 games, 126 games, 108 games, 106 games, 122 games, and then after that, 60, 74, and then he was in Oakland.
His back got him bad, man.
Right, and I love Sweeney. One of my favorite Royals of all time. He's a super nice guy, super nice to me and my family. So, again, I'm biased towards Mike Sweeney, but I'm letting Jack Caglione play out.
Okay.
Because I think Jack Caglione's ceiling could be Adam Dunn.
Okay.
Now, if you were to tell me if he's Adam Dunn for his career, would you take it? Absolutely.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I would let it play out. He's played 12 games. He's a hoss. I think the power will come. That's why I think there should be other voices that get said in the hitting practices and the approach of the batting cage and stuff like that. Get some other guys' voice in there. Hey, what do you think, Eric? Like, I don't know. I think maybe, you know, take this approach. Because tonight is Lugo versus Jack Leiter. Jack Leiter is a predominantly fastball pitcher. 50% of his pitches are fastballs. So you're not going to get, you know, now maybe that changes when you play the Royals. You just keep throwing soft and away and they'll swing at whatever.
Swing at everything, yeah.
But if that's the case, force him to throw your fastball because he's essentially a mirror image of what Seth Lugo is doing tonight. And you mentioned Seth Lugo. What can he do tonight? Go out there and now you have to be the ace because Cole Reagans, from what I think I heard on J.J. Piccolo's pregame show on Sunday, is that they're going to basically shut him down until the mid-July. So after the All-Star break, if everything's fine, then they'll bring him back.
It sounds like a long time, but that really isn't. I mean, it's only a couple of weeks to the All-Star break. But in the meantime, everybody else has to step up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's about a month. Yeah. You know, today's June 17th. The All-Star break is, I think, the 14th through the 18th. And then the 19th, 20th, and 21st, I think they go back and play or something like that.
Yeah, about a month, yeah.
But, I would let Cag's career play out. Again, Sweeney's a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 6'5", 250 with a size 17 foot with power that's absolutely electric. So I would take the career that's a gamble. But from what I can see and what I've seen from Jack, I would definitely let his career ride out.
Both are very much gambles because, you know, as we go through the numbers of Mike Sweeney and how good he is, I think people forget at times that Mike Sweeney was good because he signed the big contract, but he was the only one here in Kansas City. I don't think he'll ever be appreciated. I think he's more like in the lines of Alex Smith. I think everybody appreciates Mike Sweeney now that he's not here anymore versus when he was here playing. And I think that happens to a lot of athletes. But, you know, the Mike Sweeney, taking Mike Sweeney's career is a gamble. Letting him play it out is a gamble. They're both pretty big gambles because of the injury situation that happened to Mike Sweeney. If you could play Mike Sweeney's career out and he stayed healthy the entire time, Mike Sweeney may be borderline Major League Hall of Famer, Professional Baseball Hall of Famer type of guy. If he put up those numbers consecutively for 5 or 6 or 8 years, we'd be talking about putting Mike Sweeney in Cooperstown right about now. And so that's the gamble. If you sign up for Mike Sweeney's career with Jack Caglione, you're also saying, will he avoid the injuries? And if he avoids the injuries and can put up the numbers like Sweeney did when he was healthy, by God, man, give me those healthy Sweeney numbers, but I need it more than just 2 or 3 years with Jack Caglione.
And for those of people that are upset with Nick Kurtz, who hit the game-winning home run against the Royals, he hit the game-winning home run for the A's again last night.
So,
and that guy, same class as Jack Caglione, almost the same size. So, look, it's coming. I promise the power will come. I guarantee you. And people will watch because the ratings are up.
Yeah, the ratings are huge, and the attendance is huge in baseball right now. Like, baseball's in this great renaissance, and I am going to continue to talk about it, and I know I sound like a broken record because there's so much misinformation out there that baseball isn't popular anymore and everything else. No, baseball is the second most popular sport in America, and on Father's Day, Major League Baseball averaged 39,255 fans per game, the highest average Sunday attendance since 2008. In addition, the weekend's total of nearly 1.7 million fans was the second largest 45-game weekend in 17 years for Major League Baseball. The television ratings are up, attendance is up, and you know why that is? They finally got those players that we want to see. Like, you were showing me Paul Skeens at a bar in Omaha last night. Mm-hmm. I know Livy Dunn was there, but how packed was that bar to see Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn?
Well, I mean, Gold and I went, we're the only two in the bar.
Right. Oh, you were in that bar. It's the same bar.
I have a picture.
Same bar. Yeah,
same bar.
Thousands of people in there.
Yeah, I forget what the name is. The shot bar they do all the jello shots at.
Right. And the place is packed. Everybody's there. They love Paul Skeens. People love Bobby Witt. People love Ellie De La Cruz. People love Otani. People love Judge, even Red Sox fans. Tatis, Mookie Betts. I mean, like, I don't think people understand that baseball is ready to explode and they finally have that star talent that they can put out there and everybody can get excited about in almost every market now. I mean, you look around Major League Baseball, except for a place like Florida, but they got Alcantara down there, who's going to be the most coveted pitcher on the trade block. You look at just about every market in baseball right now, and they've got a superstar. The Rockies don't, obviously. But you got Cal Raleigh up in Seattle. You've got Kurtz out there, obviously, and Wilson and all those guys, young guys, in Sacramento right now. The Dodgers have a slew of players on their team. You got Trout. All over the place are star players right now in Major League Baseball. That's what it's all about. Baseball's in such a great spot right now. People have got to stop saying baseball's a dying sport because it is not a dying sport. And it's a fast sport, too. I think only 15% of games have been over 2.5 hours this year or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's the bigger point to me. Yeah, the stars are great. Quick. But yeah, quick, man.
Quick. They're fast. Yeah, games move.
Not only that, if you build it, they will come. You listen to your people, they will show you respect.
Yes.
The NFL is king. Hey, I think these kickoff rules suck. We should change them. So we're going to change the kickoff rules. Hey, overtime rules suck. Yep. We should change them. They changed them. Baseball, games are too slow. We need to fix it. Okay.
Done.
Hey, I don't want to see a 19-inning game. Okay, okay, Ghost Runner on second. Wait, what we used to play in our backyard?
Yep.
Yes, that's what we were playing. This feels relatable.
Right.
Relatable works.
Yep.
Trust me.
Yeah. Seriously, no, it does. I mean, you give the people what they want.
Right.
A baseball game is about a half hour faster than an NFL game now.
Cool video floating around on Twitter. Derek Lee gets hit by a pitch from Padres starter Chris Young, and they charge him out and throw fists.
What year is that?
2007. Yeah. It's great.
Like, you talking Chris Young, GM of the Texas Rangers, Young, and Derek Lee, who looked old every day that he played. Yeah.
Yeah, they swung at each other. It was great to watch. Ryan Dempster still on the mound for the Cubs as well back then.
Oh, that's a former Royal,
coming
right?
up on the other side, Mac hits leadoff on our hot corner on a Tuesday here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Here Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey with you as well. 96.5 The Fan, home for Kansas City sports. Damn glad to have you. Looks a little muggy. Looks like there could be some storms moving in here shortly, but that's okay. That means Mac will have a really nice nap today.
How does that differ from any other day?
Well, I think you sleep easier in a storm, especially in the middle afternoon with the luxuriousness of being able to do that.
Yeah, probably so.
So he doesn't have a hot corner, but Mac might have somebody that does have a little bit of a hot corner on a Tuesday.
I do. Absolutely, I do. It's Stephen A. Smith again.
Again.
Was he late Stephen to a solitaire tournament?
His phone was charged last night. Everyone made sure of it. He had his phone. It was good to go.
Why do we need to see a Stephen A. Smith walk-in video, by the way? I mean, like, why does that need to be out there? Are people waiting for Stephen A. Smith to arrive at the game and do a... Like, I don't like the walk-in videos. I really do think they're lame. I do.
Oh, you even know? For the players and stuff?
Yeah, for all of it. I think it's ridiculous. Gotcha. But whatever, that's just my opinion. It is really ridiculous for Stephen A. Smith to be walking in.
The walk-in video, and you can tell he loves it, right?
Well, he's walking slow.
You think?
Oh yeah, he loves it. He's got that stoic look. God. He's looking at the camera. He's
walking
a little
slower.
He knows
it's there. It's all planned. It's
the swag.
Yeah.
I just want to have somebody come to him like, "You are not a player."
Nope.
It's like in Toy Story. You are a child's plaything.
Yes.
That's right.
A toy. They said he walked in like he was ready to go play some serious solitaire on Brick Center. Oh, it was so good. I couldn't stop. I was like, this is fantastic.
I mean, that dude's strutting in last night. I'm like, we never see Nance do that. We never see Romo. We don't see.
Imagine Jim Nance.
Like, what broadcaster do you want to truly see walking into?
Well, Max saw it. It was Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, that's a good one. We did see those guys. Now, quite honestly, they were by themselves except for one hired goon that was following them around.
Yo,
get out of the way. We got Rob Gronkowski, and Gronk's like, you do? Where? Where's Rob? And like, he didn't even realize it was himself, you know? Like
even me know to get out of my own way.
But if they did broadcaster walk-ins, who do you want to see strutting in? Like, can you see Denny doing the walk-in?
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Like, we need to start doing this kind of stuff. Denny's arrival every day at Kauffman Stadium as we celebrate him getting married and whatnot, right? Like, we need to do that. Or LeFevre kind of walking into the... Or Mitch walking
in. With a smoke machine and like red confetti coming down or something.
Yeah, like, yes, we should do something like that. Or, you know, Tom Brady walking into these games right now with whoever partner he's with. And so there's a lot of opportunities to do this kind of stuff. Dick Vitale needs a walk-in, by God.
816 says Kevin Harlan. I like that.
Kevin would be great.
That'd be a fun one. But yeah, Stephen A. Smith last night, obviously all the solitaire jokes and the walk-up video. Tough Tuesday already, hot corner. But then... You know, when it rains, it pours. And of course, I don't want to, you know, we speak for a living. Sometimes it's hard. You don't always say the right thing, or you can't speak eloquently. You stumble over your words. We all do it, but
daily.
Man, every day. But man, this was rough for Stephen A. right here.
Halliburton has looked awful, and I'm glad he's injured. I'm not saying I'm glad he's injured, but I'm glad we got that as the rationale.
It's like, after the Tyrese Halliburton hate that he's already
had. He corrected himself, though.
Yeah, he corrected himself right away. I'm giving him a pass.
I'll give him a pass. That's fine. Yeah. It's just when it rains, it pours. People are going hard on him for that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
But he's saying, I'm glad he's injured and he's just not being a loaf.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
And that's what he's saying. Like, I'm glad we have a reason. We know why. He's the first all-NBA player since 1958 to not score a field goal in an NBA Finals game, right? And then they show the picture of that guy who's wearing a belt in his pants. So that's how old that picture is. Like, if you see an NBA player wearing a belt, you know this guy's ancient, right?
Yes.
Like ancient, like Maloney's age type stuff, right? And so this guy's got his belt on, and he's got one of those horrible poses, you know, from back in the 50s and whatnot.
Man, basketball.
Exactly. Like, that's the last guy who didn't have any field goals in a situation like this. So I'm not on Stephen A. Smith at all for that one. That was I'm glad he's injured because he's not out there being a loaf. He's not out there playing half-ass. We know the guy is hurt, and you can justify it instead of going, what's wrong with this guy?
Bob, who for you?
Yeah, give me a Denny Matthews walk-in.
That's good.
That's what I'm saying.
Rex
Hud.
Mike
Tirico.
Mike Collinsworth slides in. He's kind of got his thing, you know.
Or give me like a Gus Johnson. He's like, I'm coming in down the sideline.
That would be so much fun. But you know who would embrace the walk-in more than anybody, and nobody would want it, right?
Mm.
Jack Collinsworth.
Oh. Yeah, never mind. I don't want to do it. Jack ruined it.
You know that guy.
I'd rather hang out with the guy that hates garages than hang out with Jack Collins.
Yeah, right. Yeah, hanging out with the guy's neighbor who's complaining about trash in his yard as opposed to Collinsworth.
Dad, is it cool if I go over to Dusty's house and then I'll give you the stats afterwards? No, not at all.
Bob, yeah. For me, and it's not because of me, but I feel like it is for a lot of people. JJ now on the hot corner to make a move. Everybody wants a move, right? Everybody's make a move, do something. And so I think JJ right now is that guy that a lot of people in Kansas City are saying, let's go, man. You better make a move before we get to the before we get past the trade deadline. So I think it's JJ a little bit on the hot corner for some Royals fans to go out there and get something done to make this team better. However, comma, you can only do as much as other teams are going to allow you to do.
I'm going to take a sarcastic approach to this. Aaron Judge. Dude, hot corner. He's only hitting 377 now.
Trash.
Yep. Man, you got to get rid of that guy.
He went 1-for-10 versus his rival in the Boston Red Sox, striking out 9 times. Maybe he's coming back down more to normalcy. That guy's 400 bet. It's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
the
done.
MVP bet, though, it's still done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Aaron Judge, tough week. He'll be that stud. He'll be the MVP. He'll hit 55 home runs, and he'll have, 125 RBI, and he'll hit 350, maybe. But, man, what a tough stretch. Last night, 1-for-3 as well.
Yeah.
And, again, Ron Washington playing homage to the whole thing. Judge comes up, man at second, top of the 10th inning, 4.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's like, no way.
That's a brilliant move. Why?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't pitch to him.
Anybody who doesn't do that is a fool as a manager. Yeah, I'm not letting this guy. It's the 10th. We got a ghost runner on. Why would I let Aaron Judge beat me in that situation?
Exactly.
No chance. Walk his ass. Make somebody else do it.
Coming up on the other side, we will get into some comments about Josh Allen over Mahomes. And
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Plus, some big pressure on a year two quarterback in the AFC West. All of that to come on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.